Goeiemôre en baie welkom by Gesondheid op RSG. My gas vandag is professor Wolfgang Preiser. Hy is hoof van virologie by die Universiteit van Stellenbosch en die Tygerberg Hospitaal. En ons gaan vandag gesels oor 'n onderwerp waaroor baie mense my al gevra het, en dit is oor die verskillende variante en die effektiwiteit van die vaksin. Want daar is baie mense wat twyfel of hulle die vaksin moet neem of nie, en ons gaan probeer om antwoorde te gee vandag. Professor Preiser, ons het nou al gehoor van verskillende variante, hulle het allerhande syfername, maar kom ek praat sommer van die Suid-Afrikaanse, die Brasiliaanse, die Engelse en die Indiese variant, en ek wil hoor, is hulle verwant aan mekaar, hoe naby of hoeveel verskil hulle van mekaar, en is daar nog ander variante wat ons nie van kennis neem nie?
Yes, unfortunately, that is probably the case. There are a number of different variants out there, and I fear we have to be realistic and would expect some others to still be discovered. The way that works is that viruses, as they make more of themselves, as they replicate, make mistakes. And if then something changes, for example, if some people have had the infection before or have been vaccinated with a vaccine that doesn't work too well, then virus evolves and it develops into variants that has certain mutations or other changes in the genome that lead to some differences that help the virus get on better by being more easily to transmit from person to person or by being able to evade the immune response. So somebody who would be immune to some variant of the virus will then not be as immune against another one. So this is what happened. And in fact, the first variant worldwide of that kind, that is a worrying variant, we call it variant of concern or VOC, was the one that was found here in South Africa at the beginning of December. And going back and looking at older samples that we store in freezers, we were able to see that it had occurred starting in October. And it was spreading and it was responsible for the second wave that we went through, which was very bad, of course. And the variant and its infectiousness is at least partially responsible for the extent of this second wave. But it is a fact of life and it happens also in other countries. There is a variant that was detected in United Kingdom, starting in England, that spread very rapidly and is now become the predominant one across Europe and in North America. There is another one in South America that started in Manaus, apparently in Brazil. So there are other variants and they have features that are worrying us because they spread very easily. And I don't know whether, you know, some listeners may have had the same impression, but, and of course that is not a study and it's not statistically valid, but I must say that some colleagues and friends became infected during the second wave that had been extremely careful. So where one can really say that, you know, they were taking all the necessary precautions, definitely not taking any chances, and yet they became infected, which basically means, and of course, as I said, this is not a study, but it means that that variant was probably quite infectious. It found it easier to spread. Other features that this variant and some others also have is that they have certain changes in some surface proteins that will make it more difficult for the immunity to react against them. And that is another worrying characteristic of some, not all of the variants. And this is why we need to really look at what the vaccines can do against them still. And in fact, for our variant, I'm not using the number because these official names with these long numbers are very difficult to speak and to remember. But the South African variant does not react as well to the antibodies that somebody forms after being vaccinated as the previous virus that was here. So there is some reason for concern. On the other hand, the vaccine-induced antibodies and immunity still work against the variant, just not as well as against the others. So it's still very much worthwhile getting vaccinated. In fact, it's actually more so because we need to vaccinate even more people to reach the same goal, and that is for people to be as protected as can be, but also for the circulation of the virus in the population at large to be reduced. Remember, if you are the one person in whom the vaccine response is suboptimal, so your own immunity against the virus is not the best, if nobody around you is infected because they also got the vaccination and in them it works well, then of course you are indirectly also protected. And that is the much mentioned and discussed herd immunity or population immunity effect. So it's even more important that, you know, as many people can get vaccinated and as quickly as possible.
Professor, is die variante, verskil hulle baie van mekaar? Byvoorbeeld, is die variant wat nou in India is, baie anders as die variant wat hier in Suid-Afrika opgespoor is? Of is dit baie soos die Engelse variant? Is daar baie onderlinge verskille tussen die variante? Moet ons bang wees nou dat die Indiese variant nou weer amok kan maak in Suid-Afrika?
That is a very good question. Many people are very worried about it. We don't have the full picture yet. Remember the Indian variant, and again, I apologize for using the country name, which is not good practice, but it's just, you know, it's easier to understand. We don't understand it fully. Of course, the terrible outbreak that India is going through at the moment is worrying us because we think, you know, in how far is that linked to a new virus variant which has emerged there, or could it just be explained also by all the mistakes that were made in the earlier months of this year in India, where large mass gatherings were allowed and distancing was not done properly. The verdict is open on that. There is a lot of research going on it, and it's happening in the labs, it's happening in epidemiology, so looking at figures and data, and together we will get a better impression of what it does. These different variants have certain features in common and others in which they vary from one another. And we're not quite sure what the Indian one will do. It has certain characteristics that suggest that antibodies against other types of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, that antibodies against these other types of the virus may not optimally react against the Indian variant. And there's also some suggestion that it is probably quite contagious, so also quite easily transmitted. We think that it is none the worse than our own, the South African variant, first detected here. But to be absolutely sure, we will have to do further studies to understand better. I think that there is no question that we should try and avoid further importation of different variants as much as possible. The big question is, of course, how to do that. You know that international travel is much reduced compared to pre-pandemic times, so there is not that many people traveling to and fro anymore. But of course, we also know that people can be infected yet totally well, not ill in any way. And even if a test is done pre-departure, even if it's a real test and it's not a fake, as also sometimes happens, people may just be still in the incubation period, and by the time they arrive, they would be infected. So there is no 100% safety against that. That is very clear. I must say that I'm very glad that we are investigating these cases. And here in our lab, we have also looked at possible cases, i.e. people who had COVID-19 and had recently returned from the Indian subcontinent. And so far, we have not found that particular variant in these cases. So we are looking for it. And now there have been findings in Durban and in Gauteng. And that was only to be expected. So one can hope that for a while, a swift reaction will contain further spread of this new variant. We are also, by the way, picking up an increasing number of the UK variant virus here in South Africa. That's another question that's also being watched. Ultimately, of course, this virus is very easily transmitted. So in the long term, there isn't a chance to keep it out of any one place on Earth. Maybe if one is in the happy situation of being a very wealthy and well-organized country on an island like New Zealand, chances are better. But for countries that are part of a continent and have land borders with a lot of traffic, it's a question of time until new variants cross these borders. So that is something which we'll unfortunately have to expect. It's still worth looking at it and trying to catch these cases early on and preventing further spread. But ultimately, we are probably only delaying it. And that, of course, is good in its own right, because our goal ultimately is to have first all vulnerable people immunized. The healthcare worker vaccination is now coming to an end, and the vaccination of the next group of people, which is those above the age of 60 and in some other settings, is about to start. It's a massive challenge. The vaccine is very good. It's one of the best out there, but it's not perfect. And none of the vaccines are perfect, one has to say. So we can't just say, now I'm going to drop my mask. Really, we have to try and get vaccinated when we are offered the vaccine, but still observe the usual precautions because of so many people not yet being vaccinated. Some countries like Israel, they are small, of course. It's a lot easier. They also have more resources than us. They went ahead. They have vaccinated a substantial proportion of their population, and now they are seeing the benefits. So the numbers of cases have gone down massively. Thousands of lives have been saved. And that is where we also want to get to. It'll take more time. The country is bigger. It has less resources. It doesn't have as many vaccine doses yet, but that is the aim. And we should get there. And until then, we should try to please get away without additional variant viruses as much as we can. But that said, I don't see a reason to panic now because of those cases of the UK and Indian variant being detected here. Actually, I take pride in that because I know the massive effort that's behind that. And it's something to be very proud of the country, as South Africa was one of the early countries to adopt such an effort, and it was funded nationally. There was no international funding being made available, so we started early looking at exactly the variants of viruses that were circulating here, and it's something to really enjoy and acknowledge. Other countries, they had a rude wake-up call at the end of 2020 when they realized, gosh, we don't actually know what's circulating here. And then they scrambled to set up similar systems. Of course, it's easier if you're in the United States or somewhere in Europe. You have more money, you have more resources. But they adopted this later. We started early, and we still have a very good system going. So we are set up to detect cases, but of course, not everybody. Things will slip through. Not each sample can be sequenced and the variant determined. But that said, I fear that the third wave is building up. We're seeing some very worrying figures coming out of Gauteng, the Free State, and other places. And that's nothing to do with new variants. That's very much our own virus. And even though we underwent that devastating second wave where so many of our friends and colleagues fell ill and some of them sadly and tragically died from it, we are still not there where we can say the population is immune. We will probably not reach that through just experiencing the infection. We will need the vaccination to do that, and it will take time. So in the meantime, really, the main measure to do is keep up the precautions. Please, let's not fall for another devastating wave. It was so bad. Let's try and keep it at bay and control it as best as we can. And everybody got a role to play in that.
Professor, is die nuwe variante net meer aansteeklik en dat hulle die huidige teenliggame kon vermy? Met ander woorde, hulle val die immuunstelsel effentjies anders aan? Of is hulle ook meer virulent, dat hulle mense sieker maak? Of is daar net meer mense siek, omdat dit meer aansteeklik is?
Ja, this is actually three different aspects, but they often lead to the same phenomenon. Let me start with the last one, and that is the virulence. It basically means how likely is the virus to make you seriously sick. During the second wave, we saw all those people in their best years being desperately ill and some of them dying, and they didn't have any risk factors that we knew of. They were not elderly or anything. And then one wonders, is this just a more aggressive virus that causes more severe disease? The problem is, if you just have such a bigger number of infections overall, then also you will see those people who fall into groups that don't usually get serious disease, you will see more of those exceptions that still experience a very bad a clinical illness. So it's a difficult question. There may be some element that it may be somewhat more virulent, but this is still being investigated. And if anyone has followed the reports from the United Kingdom, it keeps changing. So early on, people said, yes, this is indeed more virulent. And then some other data said, no, we don't have evidence for that. And now the pendulum is swinging back. It's not that easy to investigate because we can't just, I mean, pure science would mean we infect 100 people or 1,000 people with the one or the other, and then we see what happens. That's, of course, totally unethical and cannot be done. So to match and to compare is not easy using the data that's available from real-life infections. So we don't know about that. These variants have in common a higher transmissibility, and that goes for all of them that are variants of concern currently. So the one first found in South Africa, in Brazil, in the UK, and now also in India, and they are more easily transmitted. And that means they spread to more people, they cause bigger numbers of infections, and therefore one will also see more severe cases, even in age groups and subgroups of the population that are not at such high risk, like our main risk groups. And then finally, the immune evasion is yet another feature of viruses. It basically means how good is the virus at infecting somebody that has had the infection before or now and increasingly in future who's been immunized. And that is something that's really being investigated. Most listeners will remember that the AstraZeneca vaccine that was earmarked to be the first one to come to South Africa to be used was then shelved and later passed on to other countries after it was found that it provided insufficient protection against the South African variant. That was found in a study that just happened to take place during the second wave. And of course, many other vaccines have not been tested here during this phase, so we would not know. We would not have the data from a clinical trial, which is, of course, the optimum. That is the best scenario. If we don't have that because it hadn't been done at the time by chance, and one doesn't know this in advance, so it's a very tricky thing, then one has to rely on data firstly from laboratory testing. So we are using different types of viruses in cell culture. We are then looking at the ability of blood samples from people who've had infection with one or other variant in the past, and blood samples from people who've been vaccinated with the one or other or a third vaccine. And then we are looking at how good these samples, the blood samples from the patients, are at neutralizing the virus. It's not the full picture. There are many differences in between different people, so it may work well for one and not so well for the other, but it has little to do with the vaccine or with the virus strain or the virus variant. It's just their ability to form immunity. So there are differences there. And then antibodies are also not the full picture. There are also immune cells that play a role. We are not able to measure this perfectly. And then thirdly, and there's some interesting reports coming out of different countries just last week, is real life application. So countries that have used vaccinations on a large scale. So typically the smaller countries like Israel, Iceland, and so on. They were then able to see how the vaccination, as more and more people became vaccinated, how it avoided infections, looking at the numbers, but also looking at people who became infected despite having been vaccinated. We call that the breakthrough infection. And that happens. And it happens with all vaccines. Just usually we don't really worry about it a lot. I mean, it's not something that would be discussed in public. And now, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny on these cases. Which is good because we need to learn. So these cases are investigated very thoroughly. And the same is happening here. We are also doing that to see are people maybe protected against the one, but not against another variant of the virus. So we are looking at this very carefully. And the encouraging news that came out of two studies last week was that the vaccines are providing a large degree of protection also against at least our South African variant. It's not perfect. It's somewhat less than against the so-called wild type virus, but it still works. And that, I think, is very good news. it basically means that the vaccine rollout that's going to happen now with the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine for the elderly and people in certain settings, that will make a big difference.
Is it maklik om die vaksin te verander? Nou dat mens weet wat die genetiese samenstelling van die nuwe variante is, kan daai nuwe variante se samenstellings dan nie ook ingewerk word sodat die vaksin teen hulle ook effektief is nie?
Absolutely, and that is what they are working on already. We are expecting a second generation of vaccines to become available and probably sometime in the near future, and they will have been reformulated to adapt to the changes in the virus. And in fact, been doing this for decades already with the influenza vaccine. Influenza is something that one also needs to be vaccinated against every year ahead of the influenza season. Now is a very good time, by the way, if I may take the opportunity to remind all listeners that influenza has become quite rare now because we are being careful, sanitizing a lot, wearing masks, avoiding crowds, meeting people outdoors if we can, keeping our distance, but it is still there. So if you are one of the groups for whom influenza vaccination is recommended, please, now is a good time to get it. And that is independent of COVID-19. But that said, influenza also has this ability to change very quickly. So the influenza viruses, they also change genetically from year to year. And this is one of the reasons why one has to be vaccinated every year with a slightly changed vaccine in many cases. Some people predict that we will have a similar scenario with COVID. I'm not sure. I think we have a chance that once the population at large and across the world, and that is something we are learning now, ultimately the vast majority of the world's population will have to be immunized for everybody to be safe. Otherwise, it will keep smoldering in some places and new variants will emerge. So we really need to make a big drive to vaccinate as many people of the many billions worldwide that we can. And I think once everybody's been fully vaccinated, we might need another booster dose, which would then hopefully be a vaccine that takes into account these different variants that have emerged. And if we are lucky, that might be it. If we are not lucky, we might have to get booster doses of the COVID vaccine every couple of years, maybe. Some people say maybe every year, maybe even combined with the influenza vaccine, if it becomes a seasonal disease, or maybe every few years. It's simply too early to tell. The virus is evolving very quickly. It's changing and adapting, and we are trying to keep up. And we also don't really know, because it's not been around for long enough. We don't know how long people will be immune after the vaccination.
Ek het nog nooit so baie pseudo-wetenskap WhatsApps en op sosiale media gekry soos met hierdie pandemie nie. En baie mense sukkel om te weet wat om te glo, wat is feit en wat is fiksie. Een van die goed wat ek gereeld hoor is dat dit totale fout is om tydens 'n pandemie mense te wil vaksineer. Hoe los jy dan 'n pandemie op as jy nie moet vaksineer terwyl die pandemie aan die gang is nie?
Ja. You're absolutely right. I mean, to be honest, I personally volunteered for one of the vaccine studies that were taking place here in South Africa last year already. So I got the shot, and of course I didn't know whether it would be the real vaccine, which by that stage had not been proven to work well, or whether it was the placebo, which would have been just some salt solution, you know, so that neither the person who gives it nor the person who receives it knows whether they got the vaccine or not. And I was actually happy to have quite a remarkable side effects the following day, because I thought, well, that feels very much like it was the real vaccine and not the placebo. And let's just hope the vaccine works. And it happened to be the Johnson & Johnson one, which is now also the one that's used for healthcare workers as part of the Sisonka 3B trial, the rollout to healthcare workers. So I got it sort of early through that study. I was very happy because ultimately I realized that to get out of this and to regain a normal life, we will all have to get vaccinated. That's the core principle. I don't know how one could have the idea that we would get through this without vaccination. Even if one allowed, and these discussions are old discussions way back last year, you know, to let it run rampant, and infect everybody and the survivors will be immune. I mean, firstly, we know that survivors will not necessarily be immune, nor immune for a long time. We are seeing quite a number of repeat infections, somebody who had COVID during the first wave and can get it again. So it's not a very good immunity in every case. We know that, of course, many people were really seriously ill and far too many died from COVID despite being treated as possible. And then we have, and again, I know personally some people who have what is called long COVID, which means after the acute infection and disease is over, they take a long time to recover and they may have very severe symptoms and signs going on for many months. And in extreme cases, I know of people who had to be readmitted to hospital even. So bad did it work out. So none of this makes it appear to me that it would be desirable to just get it and get it over and done with. This is not a trivial disease. Of course, we know that many people also have mild disease or may not even notice, some of whom may still develop long COVID. So even that is not a guarantee that you are let off lightly. But I thought as humanity, we'd move beyond that. We have vaccines. We want to avoid suffering and protect lives. For me, it seems totally outrageous to suggest that one should not vaccinate.
My guest vandaag was Professor Wolfgang Preisser. Hy is hoof van virologie aan die Universiteit van Stellenbosch en die Tygerberg Hospitaal. Hierdie was die eerste een in 'n kort reeks van 2 oor die coronavirus variante en die vaksine. Luister dus gerus volgende week verder na my gesprek met professor Preisser waar hy nog inligting deel oor die coronavirus variante en oor die vaksine. Tot volgende week dan, wanneer ons weer corona sake gesels.